Summer 2021 is driving people to events and happenings, and Rorik Honda is part of that drive. From parking lot shows, hosting comedy acts, to a collab with Mancini's, Rorik knows the importance of community fun.
Congratulate them on a record month in May and browse their inventory in Bloomfield and make it a record month in June. As always, visit Rorik.com for all of your vehicle needs.
And now we start this week's Ya Jagoff podcast from Astrobotic, where there's going to be a moon rover driven around on the moon from here.
According to the Oxford Dictionary, the word Jagoff is defined as a noun, which means a stupid, irritating, or...
Here's how Pittsburghers define a word jagoff. When someone cuts you off on a parkway.
Jagoff!
Or someone scares the out of you.
Yeah, jagoff!
Or it's a term of endearment.
How you been, jagoff?
This is Mark Madden.
Hi, this is Larry Richard.
Hey, it's Rick Sivak.
Hi, this is Greg Brown.
Hi, I'm Tyler Kennedy.
This is Santonio Holmes.
And this is the Ya Jagoff Podcast.
Well, thanks for listening to the Ya Jagoff Podcast. If you're listening for the very first time, what do they do, Rach?
Well, leave us a good review. Don't go on and say, man, I didn't like that. Because if that's how you feel, then private message us and tell us how we can do better. But if you have something good to say, then leave us a review.
Yeah,
right?
On iTunes and subscribe wherever you are for to get your podcast.
But definitely listen on the Odyssey app.
You do know that if you subscribe, right, the Odyssey app, it comes out, you get it first. Mm-hmm. So everybody in Pittsburgh always wants to be first. They never want to be second, third, or anything. Mm-hmm.
It's sort of our own Patreon program because yeah, right. We don't do Patreon right. Because we're lucky that we have a sponsor. We just love the fact that we have great listeners and we thank you for continuing right. to listen. But we tell you to listen on the Odyssey app because we are on Kel on Air on 100.7 Star every day around 4:55, and we deliver the Daily Dose of Happiness. So if you have any tips for what the Daily Dose is, let us know because we'll be happy to report that on air.
Right.
And then on Fridays, we establish who was the biggest jagoff, because if you follow our blogs, you know that we talk about some jagoffs. John is always talking about driving. I, on the other hand, find other things peculiar. Like, we didn't write about it this week, but I'll just slide it in there. You know, my daughter has this annoyance with the brand Clancy from Aldi, okay, because my family goes Clancy. That's something. Clancy. We know where mom shopped. Nothing against Aldi. It's just that Clancy's hit or miss, right? They either have really good product or really crappy product. So you might see a blog from us this week about this popcorn that we bought that's roasted corn popcorn. John eats corn on the cob for a meal. So I was like, we need to try this. Yeah. It was so horrible.
It was the worst
popcorn ever.
Yeah, it was the worst popcorn.
Like
ever,
terrible to say because we don't really give bad reviews, but like it was bad. And it's like, who's the jagoff that made this? So
right. Check
out our daily blog and then listen to Elista every Friday to find out who's the jagoff of the week.
Right. And so this week's podcast is really cool because we, as you know, we love getting out to Pittsburgh spaces, and this one's a surprise.
Literally.
We had the CEO and president on some time ago,
but that's
when we were in the COVID phase and we had to kind of dial everybody up. And your dog Tanner was on it.
Yeah.
We didn't bring Tanner today.
No, never.
Right. So we are here at Astrobotic, which is in the north side of Pittsburgh, sort of very close to the Rooney House. And there's so many cool things going on here. So we brought a bunch of people here that are doing cool things in Pittsburgh to be the guests. Ryan O'Shea is on because he's doing his life's work on this mm-hmm. kind of space stuff. And who thought that you could grow up in Pittsburgh
yep.
and have involvement in the space program, mm-hmm. right? And not have to move to Florida. And then who else do we have on? Jen Linsalata. We were waiting to get in here, mm-hmm. and she was basically, without a PowerPoint, motivating all of us.
Yes.
Personally. Out yes. along the railing.
She's like, get your career
She's
going.
Like,
you
right,
need to be there.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, and we're obviously excited to talk to our first guest. But before that, we have a reoccurring guest from Discover the Berg. Listen, we talk about how we may have helped their SEO because we used to call them the wrong name a lot.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
What not yeah. to do with
Jeremy
us.
And Angie are here to talk. It's been forever since we've had them on the podcast. So anyways, here we go, Rach, our first guest. This
yeah.
is awesome. So if you're listening to the podcast, you need to go back to Facebook and watch the video because behind us is this thing that we've touched, and it is a replica of what's going to the moon.
Yeah, I don't even know where to start. Like, usually I feel like I'm clever and we could say this like cool segue and it's like, Olivia, I keep joking about John fanboying this location, but it is truly overwhelming to walk into this place because, you know, to not throw Colin out, but he calls us and he says, I think I'm here. It's this giant warehouse. And so it's this massive operation in the heart of the north side of Pittsburgh. And yet it's a little nondescript and you walk in and your breath is taken away.
Honestly, because we're under construction, yeah. I keep saying it looks like the Men in Black. Like, you don't even know. And then you walk in and you're here.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Is that feeling. I can't describe it other than it is so surreal to walk in. Again, not to give away the behind the scenes too much, but to see what's here. I mean, it's exactly what I thought it would be. It's clean. It's airy. It's bright. And it's here in Pittsburgh. What is it like for you? One of my first questions for you was, and I almost feel like we have to go off script because there's so much to ask now. You describe it as on your website as a lunar logistics company. Okay.
Yes.
What? And you have 11 people essentially who work here regularly, as you said, like the leadership team essentially, right?
Well, sure. We actually have, in 2019, we only had 18 employees, and now we have 137.
Wow.
And we're slated for 150, and that's not even if we win more contracts, and we're at capacity right now.
Right.
So it's pretty incredible.
So you look at the website, it's like, oh, meet our leadership team, right? So you're like, oh, there's 11 people who are there in this little space. And no, it's this ginormous space with all these people with so much growth. What is a day like? When you walk through the door and walk us through it. Like, what? I know there's so many different things happening, but what is all going on under this roof?
Yeah, well, I mean, in summary, we're getting to the moon. Like, we're going to the moon. So the thing behind me is actually a structural test model is what we call it. Essentially, it's just a one-to-one exact replica of the spacecraft that we're actually sending to the moon. So it's this size. It's this shape. We do all these tests to it. We, shake the heck out of it to make sure it can withstand launch and things like that. But essentially, our goal is to... We say that our mission is to make space accessible to everybody, and we mean that. Traditionally, it was only governments and billionaires that would be able to afford to go to space. And I was telling you all earlier, it's like a seat on the bus. So this is our lunar lander. It sits on a rocket, and it holds all of what we call payloads. It's just cargo. It's technologies. It's science experiments. It's from individuals, too, which I'll talk about later. But, I mean, all of our jobs is to get things to the moon. And not only get them there, but we're also kind of foraying into infrastructure on the moon. So we want to create a power source for all the things that other people are planning and we're planning on the surface of the moon. So we want to we won a new contract recently called the Vertical Solar Array Technology. And that is going to power... like astronaut tools or, anything that's on the moon that we're trying to power. But we're just, we're foraying into so much. We build rovers. We do what we call future space tech. And it's just, it's so big. You're right. It's so big. It's hard to get your whole mind around it. But that's what everyone does here. I mean, we have people that physically build things. We have myself who markets all of it and makes connections. And it's a lot of business to business. But we have a space lawyer. Like, we have, can you?
Huh.
Can
that's
you
where I was going. Like, it's crazy. Like, you have these
wait, doesn't
who have
everybody?
Jobs. Yeah. Well, we do.
Right.
I mean, who doesn't?
Why
of course, you Jagoff has a space lawyer.
I think the most amazing thing is that when we all came into the building together with you is that we walked. Yes, it's exactly what I was going to say is that we walked in and you said, by the way, this is Mission Control. We all went, and it looks like a Mission Control. And you explained like there will be people from NASA here in Pittsburgh eating Gus and Yaya's snow cones.
Well, she didn't quite say that, but we threw that part in there.
While they're driving these lunar rovers around on the moon. That is so incredible. Yeah. So I guess take me, what were you doing? Were you like, were out partying one night? And you go, oh, this job came up. I like the market space. Were you a space kind of geek said in a positive manner? I mean, that's totally me. I could geek out over all. I could sit and watch the NASA channel forever, except for if the penguins are on. But but what led you here?
So, well, it's funny because I used to work in advertising firms quite a bit, and quite a few in Pittsburgh, and we always, the last one I went to, we always ate lunch at Slim's, like, love Slim's. Slim's, if you're listening, like, can you please sponsor our lunches for lunch? Okay. Anyway, delicious. But I was just standing in line, and these gentlemen next to me were talking about, should we get the pudding? And I just leaned over and was like, get the pudding. Like, it's no, like, snack pack. It's a real pudding and, like, spiced. And so they invited me to eat lunch with them. And it turns out they worked at NREC, which is the CMU sort of tech and stuff, engineering. I don't know. But they worked there. I had lost my job because of COVID, like a lot of people. A lot of people's stories. But I just – they sent me a link that they had found on Reddit and was like, Olivia, they're hiring a marketing person. Like, I know someone there. Do you want to be introduced? And I think that got my resume on the top of the list just for an introduction. And then I'm amazing, so I landed it. But
no, yes. I mean, that's true. But, right. And you have to look at my show notes because I literally, being a journalism and marketing geek myself, how do you market this? I mean, at first thought, you go, well, wow, that's easy. Who doesn't want that? And then you go, whoa, hold on a second. There's a lot of, you have to be so knowledgeable about anytime you're marketing. You have to know your brand. How on God's green earth do you market this? Because I envy the fact, in a positive way, God bless you for being able to do that. What was your first thought? And how did you kind of change gears? Like, because you cannot, there's no way that you thought and then it worked. Like, you had to trial and error a bunch of things, right?
Definitely. Well, I was always a space nerd, and okay. I thought I knew enough, and I was like, I learned quickly. This would be great.
Right.
No, it's so big. There's so much. So there's different categories. Like, we have business to consumer is what we call it, and we satisfy that sort of niche with our program Moonbox, where anyone can purchase a moon capsule, and they can put whatever they want in it and send it to the moon. I mean, within reason, but like, they can put things in it and send it to the moon. And we even had a contest with the Heinz History Center.
Right.
I think you guys talked about that last time. But we had a contest, and Pittsburgh voted, and they decided to send a Kenny Wood token to the moon. So that's going to be aboard this as well.
Does that not give you chills? Right?
So cool. And we
have, so cool.
I mean, you'll talk to Ryan later, but offered space on his SD card to anyone.
We're there.
Yeah,
we're there. Thanks to Ryan.
Thanks to Ryan.
We have a Yajagoff podcast episode on.
Yeah, like legit. Yeah, like we weren't just pretending. Like, we're on. Yeah. We were like, Ryan, if you want to be on this podcast, you're putting us on there.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's just a small part. That's just the general public. But then you have the people. So we have lobbyists in Capitol Hill just like lobbying for the importance of space travel and the technologies we get out of it. Like, we wouldn't have GPS without space travel. Like, there's so many things. So we're lobbying for that. And, you know, winning NASA contracts. So NASA is a part of our stream, of course. We have 11 payloads aboard Peregrine. I think it's 11. Anyway, we have NASA payloads aboard. But on the other side, we have other government space agencies that couldn't afford to do anything until now. And so we have the Mexican Space Agency, AEM, on board. We have DLR, which is Germany's space agency. They're sending a radiation sensor to measure radiation to pave the way for astronauts to see how much they're going to be exposed to, because we haven't been back to the moon for 50 years since the Apollo mission. It's been forever. And that was when we had the computing power of a calculator.
Wow. I never even thought of that.
And now we have, imagine what we have now. So it's just huge. But we have to appeal to different people that are looking to do this. And being a commercial company, what that really means is we can sell to anybody.
Right.
So we have a corporate sponsor, DHL. It's the International Shipping Company. They just sponsored us to have their logo and be involved in our Moonbox program, shipping everything. And that's something that we're,
brilliant.
You know, we're funded by corporations too. And it's amazing. Like, I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah.
Well, how could you not be? Yeah, oh, my gosh.
So what happens? You're marketing to people to put payloads on your craft to go to the moon, right?
That's right.
And then, so that's you said, international. So then do you then go buy space on a rocket ship and say, we want this size compartment, or how does that work out?
Yeah, so the lunar lander holds all of the payloads, the cargo. So any rover, science tech, the DLR radiation sensor, the moon box will all be sitting here. You can mount it in all different areas. And some of the payloads, like rovers, have like power requirements and things like that. And we have to make sure none of them interfere with the other, and they all can like safely be on the spacecraft. Because if you have one of them flying off the spacecraft you could ruin the whole mission.
Right.
So every little detail is important. But this lander is on a rocket. So we go to rocket providers like ULA, United Launch Alliance, is going to be the rocket provider for Peregrine Mission 1 in 2022. Stay tuned. Keep updated. Like, it'll be a really fun time. Like, you'll see the launch. It's going to be amazing. It's their Vulcan Centaur. It's the first launch of that particular rocket. So it's a big deal. And so that goes on the rocket, shoots up, and the lander then lands on the moon. It goes in orbit and eventually spirals into to land on the surface.
So talk about the time frame for that, because I think people need to wrap their minds around the fact that, like, obviously major process, because it's already been moved, right? It's 2022.
Yes.
And what does that time frame look like? So you focus on this and that takes about X amount of time until it gets to X. How does that work?
Oh my goodness. That's really hard to say now because production lines have been delayed, of course.
Sure.
And we had a hard time getting materials that we would typically be able to get in a snap, and they're not available.
Oh,
so
okay.
The time it takes to build the lander and get all the technology together, it's
going to depend. Yeah.
But the whole point of our kind of business model and commercial space, and SpaceX is doing this, we chose them for our next mission that's sending a water hunting rover to the surface called Viper. It's NASA's rover. And that was an amazing win. But anyway, we chose SpaceX as the rocket for that.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway. That's
right.
Anyway.
I love the phrase, we chose this rocket for
we
that
chose
mission.
Chose this. Yeah. You're a little bit of a name.
I have trouble choosing what to drink in the morning, and you're choosing rockets.
No, but go ahead.
Well, what... Oh, I lost track. What are we saying?
The Viper.
Your Viper, oh, okay. Yeah.
And, yeah, so we choose the rocket. It goes on there. And, yeah,
it's so crazy that this is literally happening here in Pittsburgh. And for you, is that – actually, this might even be a question for Ryan. Isn't it crazy – it is crazy to me at my age to think that this is happening
here
in Pittsburgh. Like, when I think about when I graduated college – and everybody was supposed to move away to go get a real job, right? And now these real jobs are jobs you couldn't even fathomed, now here. And so you, not only are you guys doing this great stuff, you're probably part of keeping students, graduates here.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that. Okay.
Yeah.
So, well, the business model for the lander, that's what I was forgetting to say. We reuse the design and tweak it and make it better each time so we don't have to reinvent the wheel every time and it lowers the cost, right? But with that in mind, I mean, the more contracts we win, the more we do, the larger we're going to grow, the more people we're going to need. And we are opening the door to all of that, to developing from K-12 all the way through your education journey to working here and retaining people in Pittsburgh. And one way that we're doing that and really like hammering that home is the Moonshot Museum that we are building.
Just heard about that in the news this week, right?
Yeah,
we're partnering with the Carnegie Science Center to create sort of a space exhibit, shared kind of experience in the Pittsburgh region and the North Shore. So now we have another two museums that people can visit.
And that is kudos to you guys, because our museums are still so underrated. I mean, I have to say,
yes.
And I'm not blaming anyone. It's just, we've come such a long way from a sports town to a cultural town. And yet it's crazy to me that it's still undervisited.
I'm a Pittsburgh boomerang. I was born here, left for a while and came back, and I was in art school. And the moment I came back and really like knew what I was looking at at the Carnegie Museums and the Art Museum, I was like, I've studied these pieces in South Carolina. Like, you know, that's a big deal. There's so much here.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, it's so true. So the museum will be – we were going to do it as the Daily Dose of Happiness, not trying to pitch that, but through the Carnegie Science Center. So how can kids relate more so?
Oh, my goodness. So when they walk in the Moonshot Museum, they're going to see the windows – that look into the what we call the clean room, which is where we build the spacecraft. So they're going to see just across some thick glass, they're going to be able to look and see people living in Pittsburgh actually building it, actually doing it. And a lot of the theme of the museum is reaching out to underprivileged and underrepresented children and communities that are traditionally kind of ignored.
Sure.
And
yeah.
Inspiring them and being like, you live in the Manchester neighborhood and you can do this. Like, this is a possible... career path for you.
Yep.
And what's unique about it is most museums are kind of siloed in different ways, but just across the building, you have all of the engineers that actually work on the spacecraft to be able to come and do talks and mentorships and things like that. So we're talking about that. We're talking about how I mentioned space lawyers and space marketers. We also have accountants and writers and proposal writers. We have builders that physically build it. Like, it's not just engineers that can work in the space industry.
And I love knowing that you literally started with this many people and look how it's grown in just a year.
Oh my God.
That's crazy. The amount of job absorption. It's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Yeah. So before we let you go, you have to answer a question of the day. You have to tell everybody where to find you. But even before that, you have to tell the story about, I think my burning question would be, even if you're not, and I don't know how you're not at this point, this, as you say, nerd for, you know, space or the fact that we have NASA, like looking at our neighborhood, right? How did this start? Like, I love that you're walking us through and you said it started with a conversation
in a bagel shop.
I mean, how about
with
that?
CMU people and our CEO, John Thornton, like they just started and they said, we have an idea to make space like really anyone can be involved and kind of taking that intangible space crew and turning it into a tangible experience and a real thing for people in the neighborhood and in Pittsburgh and Pennsylvania, anyone who visits really.
Well, the good news is that space travel, the more that humans can go and make it more public available to space, the better off our legacy of our blog is.
Because,
well, here's why. Here's why. Because right now, if you take your shoes off and pick your toenails on an airplane, we take your picture and post you as a jagoff. Now you could see that happening on a spacecraft, like someone's, or they take three seats or they fall asleep on your shoulder. We have so many future Jagoff posts because of this company here.
That's not what I got out of it, but thanks, John. Now we can thrive because of you. Thank you. So Olivia, this is amazing. Seriously, we will have to come back just to kind of see what's next, because I think this is just obvious. Not, I think it is constantly evolving, and it's amazing that it's here in our neighborhood, and we're just so proud. Thank you so much for giving
us
the
chance.
Thank you. Where does everybody follow and find more information out about Astrobotic?
So astrobotic.com, and we actually just revamped the website.
And don't Pittsburgh ease it. Don't put an S on it.
Well,
Walgreens.
I'm going to Aldi's and then Astrobotic.
I've heard everything, like Astro Biscuits, and it's like, no!
Oh my God.
Astrobotic. That was on the Jetsons,
that's
I think.
So bad.
That's funny.
And then social media follow.
Right. Yeah, same thing, Astrobotic. If you type that in, you'll find us. Sometimes it's Astrobotic Technology, but we're on Instagram, Twitter. Yeah, we're just across the board on social media.
Love it.
All right. So this is sort of like in the theme of the time capsule, right? The question of the day. What is the best piece of advice that you have ever received that you apply today?
Oh,
Listen, you have to think about it. Like, I don't know, when I was putting the show notes together for this and like obviously strategically placing you all here for a reason, you start thinking like, how did I get here? What's that piece of advice that I think back to and I go, I apply that every day.
Okay, this is going to sound really awful to start, but it's not.
Okay,
it's So like,
we won't interrupt.
Go. Hang on there. All right. Okay.
I'm in.
The best, I heard this from one of my friends that work, Audra Mitchell. She works at, she's amazing. She's like a Wonder Woman. But anyway, she works in advertising in Pittsburgh as well. And she said her mom used to tell her, nobody cares. And she was so sad about that. Like, what do you mean I matter? And she's like, no, what I mean is that you can do whatever you want and pursue whatever you want and dress however you want and just do and be yourself, because nobody is judging you as much as you are judging yourself. Like, no one cares that you, like, I don't know, said that embarrassing thing or like slipped up or, you know, or you had something in your teeth on a TV show, whatever. Like, no one cares. No one's going to remember that.
Yeah.
So like, I've been trying to live that way and just be like, it doesn't matter. I'm just doing my thing. And just,
I love the flip to that.
Really
I like that you're like, follow me. You're like, you are a mother and you are judging me right now. And I swear I wasn't. I swear. No, that's a great piece of advice. I like thinking about that. Now everybody heard and they get to think about it. You had the hardest question.
I know. I was
even willing to jump in and give you time, because what would be yours?
Well, I always say, treat people the way you want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my son just graduated from high school, so I've been doing all these like, you know, little things, and Man in the Mirror, right? I make them, my kids have to, they know every lyric, every word to the lyrics of Man in the Mirror, because it's accountability, right? I'm starting with Man in the Mirror.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I've lived longer than everybody in this building here right now, one of the most things that we bumped into, the former pirate Clint Hurdle, right? Mm-hmm. At Starbucks. And I remember him saying, his phrase was, be where your feet are.
Yeah.
You know,
I love that.
It's so many. And I don't know if he created that or whatever, but the fact is that so many people are doing this, doing that. You're on your phone, you're walking, whatever. But he literally said, be where your feet are. And I'm, you know, that was just literally 2 or 3 years ago he said that. And it just resonates with me for sure. So cool.
That's a good one.
Yeah, cool.
That.
Yeah, how about
that? Look at
us. Olivia, we were
part of
very
NASA
esoteric
now,
today, right in front
world.
Of this piece of space machinery. All right.
All right. The music you're going to be listening to is Shane Masters. He's one of our faves now. We just had him on one of our Toyota tailgates, and you're going to enjoy this next song.
Cool.
Perfect.
Yep.
That was
cool.
Awesome.
All right, everybody.
Fabulous. No, that
this was
fantastic.
So awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There's so many
time.
Other things to talk about. It's just, yeah.
We definitely want to do a tailgate or something the day that if you're, you know, like tailgate out in the parking lot, like
come
have a party.
Get me. Yes, please. Like yeah. We want to connect and we want people to be excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you could only see the way.
Ryan, top that.
Yeah. I don't think I can.
No,
I don't think I can.
No. So this is the cool part is that we've bumped into Ryan in many endeavors, and we were talking even before we got in here about the different endeavors he's involved in. But this is his most passionate one. And this we all know what it's like to you're doing this job or that job because you need that job to pay the rent or pay your car payment. But you're doing this other job in hopes of realizing revenue from it because this is your passion.
Yeah.
And so this is space, it seems to be Ryan's passion. We met you through Channel 4. You did.
I was just going to say,
you know,
gosh,
back in the days.
Yeah.
But so the first time on the Jagoff podcast. So first of all, welcome very much.
I'm so excited to be here. I'm a longtime listener of your Jagoff, and this is the first time I'm in this seat with this microphone. Very exciting.
Oh, that,
listen,
well,
it's
that's
because
awesome.
When I got on, I said, we have to have Ryan O'Shea. You know, when he was just by himself, forget it. You weren't on, so I was your saving grace.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing me on.
But the cool thing is let's tease this because somewhere along the way, you follow Ryan and Olivia, and you can get your piece of something on this aircraft or spacecraft going to the moon.
Yeah.
So we'll tease that.
We have to talk about that.
We'll tease that because a Jagoff podcast episode is going to the moon thanks to Ryan.
Yeah, we're super excited. But we have to take people through the succession for you, you know, being a Pittsburgh person. And like we said when we were talking off camera, it's so important that people like you, people like Jen, who we're going to talk to, are young people who are doing different things, right? So for a long time, as we said, people would go to school here. We have great schools, especially healthcare, technology, that kind of thing. And then they were leaving. And so then you were left with us being like number two behind Florida as a lottery state because we were so populated with elderly people. And then this thing started where younger people were saying, well, what if I stay? You know, and people like you, you know, kudos to Pittsburgh Magazine and the Pittsburgh Business Times who are giving credit to 40 under 40 and 30 under 30 because you are staying. What was it about Pittsburgh that you said, you know, I could do these things from the hobby to the talents and stay here?
Well, I was that person. I did leave the city of Pittsburgh when I graduated. So I grew up in the Pittsburgh area in Beaver County, went to the University of Pittsburgh. Immediately upon graduation, I moved to Los Angeles.
Yes.
I was in Los Angeles working in the film industry. I spent some time in Washington, D.C. working on Capitol Hill. And then I saw what was happening in Pittsburgh. I saw the rise of business and technology and entrepreneurships and startups, just like Astrobotic. These are the types of companies that I'm interested in that brought me back to my roots, to Pittsburgh, to realize that I could do the things that I want to do in my life right here, and I didn't have to leave.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh offered more to me, in my eyes, than Los Angeles or D.C. did.
Wow.
And that's why I'm
How
back.
About that?
Man.
On a smaller
why
scale,
Why are you
of course,
not on
yeah.
a commercial for Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
I think my whole life is a commercial for Pittsburgh.
No, seriously. What was the biggest change like for you? Because as we said, Colin and I worked at Markowitz Communications. We were in contact with you on a regular basis for the 412,
yep.
right? What was that transition like? You know, and obviously you've done a lot of things in between. I mean, I'm gapping you by like 8 to 10 years. But what was that like where you were saying, hey, social media is the hot thing here right now because social media was growing and I'm going to capitalize on that in our little city. But then you went from that to the future grind and all these things, like John said, that's happening now. Take us through that progression.
Well, I've always been interested in digital media and getting the word out about positive things that are happening. And that's why I loved my role at WTAE with For the 412, because that was getting the word out about lifestyle and events and exciting things that are happening in Pittsburgh. And that's different than what you might consider traditional journalism, where there's a lot of car crashes and fires and stuff. And that's definitely not the role that I was. I want to have the positive things that are going on. And I focused a lot on that. And then I got involved with a company here in Pittsburgh that was building technology that's very futuristic. And they were getting a lot of press attention about that. But I realized that the press attention they were getting, you know, these are engineers talking to journalists, they weren't exactly getting their message across appropriately. Right. So I wanted to step in with them to use my marketing and media background to help them get off the ground. That eventually led to me starting the Future Grind podcast, which is really tackling these subjects of science and technology, which it's perfect to be based in Pittsburgh, tackling those topics because this is the home of a lot of that,
right.
And telling the story of the future. And of course, spaceflight, space travel is a huge part of that. So that transition from just doing happy lifestyle content with WTAE, moving towards having these serious conversations about the future of science and technology, it was a jump, but I'm passionate about both of them. So it was easy for me to make that switch.
What I hear, too, though, is the importance of messaging, right?
Yes.
Because if you're not asking the right questions, there's a complete disconnect. And I think having that background, like you said, is so important. And, you know, to touch on like what Olivia said, it's great to have the youth. It's great to have CMU. I mean, my God, we have CMU here. But it's the manner in which, right, in order for any of this to happen. I don't know that all this happens without the right questions.
Exactly. And when you don't have control of your messaging, or you brought up the word brand earlier with Astrobotic, if you don't control that narrative yourself, someone else will control it for
you.
Yeah. So that's why I think that you bring it back to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, I think, recently has started controlling that narrative.
Yep.
Whereas after the steel mills collapsed for a few decades there, we didn't control the narrative.
Yep.
What Pittsburgh was is what outsiders thought we were.
Right.
And within the past decade or so, Pittsburghers have stepped up and said, this is who we are. We're proud of it. We're building the city back. And this is what we are.
Doesn't it kill you when people, even on the NFL games, we're here in Pittsburgh, the Steel Town. You're like, we haven't been to Steel Town in forever, right? I mean, you know, it's just crazy. We're Pittsburgh. But I love the fact that you have this technology background, and then you have the media background that you can pull that out. So I'm sure you do research and things like, we found out about Astrobotic because of a press release about their big NASA grant or contract a few years ago. And what have you found to be like, holy crap? Like, you know, for us, that was our holy crap moment, but the public was knowing and knowing that. But you seem to be sort of on the inside. What's your holy crap, I can't believe this is happening in Pittsburgh kind of thing that you're finding from the Future Grind?
Well, Pittsburgh, as you mentioned, has that history as a steel city. Beyond that, we are associated with energy in the Western Pennsylvania area. Healthcare was a big one. But now more and more, it's that robotics and software development that is defining Pittsburgh. A lot of that is coming from CMU, as you said. The fact that this is the home and hotbed of self-driving vehicles that are being tested on these streets, that's incredible. So we're being known for the robotics, but it's never really been known as an aerospace city before.
Right.
But now, because of Astrobotic, because of going to the moon, the work that's being done in this building where we are now is going to put Pittsburgh on the map as an aerospace, high-tech, robotic city for years to come. And this, I think, is where a lot of the excitement is happening. The digital revolution is what defined our recent decades up to this point. I think that's being replaced now, and there's going to be other companies stepping in here in Pittsburgh specifically. We are moving towards a biological revolution now, with medicine and healthcare. And University of Pittsburgh is going to be another institution here. We're going to see a lot more exciting things happening as biology becomes the revolution of the coming decades.
Are you referring to, and I can't think of the name, where they can grow organs?
Yeah.
Is that what you're referring to? Because I'm not, and again, I can't remember the technology name, but I just remember they grew an ear onto somebody's thigh or some kind of crazy thing. Like, so they were doing regenerative or generative medicine, something. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, there's bioprinting, there's gene engineering and gene editing. You may be actually referring to this, one of my friends, Stellark. He's actually based in Australia now, but he actually had an ear grafted and grown on his arm.
Yes.
He has an ear on his arm.
Yeah.
So that a lot of that work is now happening here in Pittsburgh. Things are being done like that. And with the digital revolution, we were editing bits of computer code. In the coming decades, we're going to be editing cells in DNA. And that's going to be the new revolution. And Pittsburgh, I think, is well suited to be the hotspot for that as well.
Because I had heard even like I think they said it wouldn't be my kids, but maybe my kids' kids they would live in a generation where it might cost you $1 million to get your pancreas changed out. If you have pancreatic cancer, they would go and take that out. It might cost you $1 million to do that. But the fact is, the savings of all the cancer treatments and your life quality, it would be incredible. I can't even, you know, so there you are kind of right. So you're seeing this kind of happen. And again, we might not see it in my generation, but it's kind of crazy to think that Pittsburgh's right in the center of that, as you're saying.
Yeah, and the thing with organ transplants, as you brought up, we are 3D printing some of these things now. They're still in the testing phase, but there's a lot of potential there. I think one of the biggest negatives is if you're on an organ donor list, it's kind of sad, right? Because for you to get what you need, someone else has to pass away, and that's right. Not a great system. In the future, we are going to be growing these things, but beyond that, what happens when we make them better? Mm-hmm. What happens when your replacement heart is better than your biological heart? What happens when we're replacing these things? That's going to be a conversation, I think, for another time, but just to get your head spinning a little
they
bit.
They need to invent a stomach that will...
Shrink.
That will that will take pizza and beer in and just crush it and not cause it to have
this
any
is
calories.
Where, this is the part of the podcast where John... We were really following, and then John brings it back to the ridiculousness of that we are. No, in all seriousness, talk a little bit about... Are these the kinds of conversations that you're having on Future Grind? Because essentially, you love this stuff, but what you're bringing up is... This isn't where it ends, right? So it's the aha moment that Nassau's involved now with the city of Pittsburgh. But there's so much more. Like we're just getting into an area that nobody knew we could. So talk about some of the conversations you have about on Future Grind.
Yeah, the purpose of Future Grind is to have long-form conversations with experts exploring the future of science and technology. A lot of that is based right here in Pittsburgh. But Future Grind has a global audience. We mm-hmm. talk to people from all over the world. And I think the big thing here is that, yeah, you can talk about science and technology, but that's only important in the fact that it impacts humanity in society. So what you really need to talk about is the impact of that science and technology.
Right.
How society is going to change, and perhaps the conversations that we need to be having today so that we do usher in a positive future sure. rather than a dystopian future, which I think right. a lot of people are scared about.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. So yeah. That's one of the big focuses.
What's something that you've heard recently from another city? You know, you say that obviously it's based here, but the fact that you can even have this kind of conversation based in Pittsburgh amazes me. If it wouldn't have been 20 years ago.
Right.
What's something that you heard recently from somewhere else that you go, wow, what's your favorite moment? Or what's that aha that you just had?
I think, well, this is going to be tying back to Pittsburgh a little bit.
All right.
But Boston is huge for a lot of these things. You have MIT there. You have Harvard there.
Sure.
They are at the forefront of AI and a lot of these technologies that we are talking about. There's now efforts to create partnerships between Pittsburgh and Boston and adding Montreal in the mix as well, which is
right.
another big AI city, to kind of create this AI triangle of cities working together rather than competing with each other
yeah.
to help usher in positive technology. And I think that's what I'm very excited about because AI
that's
is
a
huge
yeah.
one. And I think
oh, yeah.
Pittsburgh
right.
partnering with Boston is a big part of
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
And we all have Wahlburgers.
Right. Right. The AI thing, I think, is probably the most amazing thing that,
yeah.
I, you know, when you sit and watch how, you know, the robotics are doing things
yep.
and it's just crazy.
Surgeries.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you could just run
it's
the
amazing.
Gamut.
Well, this is
ask
awesome.
Him the question about the capsule because I know you're dying to, you
yes.
want people to know.
So here's the deal is Ryan reached out to us and said, hey, would you like your podcast to go to the moon? We're like, yeah. So anyway, so talk about that a little bit, Ryan, because you and Olivia worked together on that, right?
Yeah, so Future Grind is very focused on space. Space exploration, space travel is a huge area of development. And I was so excited to see that Astrobotic was here in Pittsburgh, not only building a lander to send to the moon, but also offering that opportunity not to governments and billionaires, but to average corporations and even average people to give them a part to send something to the moon. So when I heard that that was happening, when I interviewed their CEO, John Thornton, on my Future Grind podcast, and I found out about this, I knew I had to open up that opportunity to my audience and to Pittsburghers and to people all around the world to send their digital files piggybacking on a slot on this lander right here that Future Grind had purchased. We would send their files to the moon. And I knew that Jagoff had to go on that as well. So I reached out to you, and I'm so glad you participated in that.
Oh my
there's
gosh.
Art going up. There's music. There's writings. There's family histories. So when this launches in 2022, everyone who submitted a file is going to be watching that, knowing that their story is going to the moon and it's happening here in Pittsburgh.
And can people still get in?
This one is closed this particular lander. My hope is that this will be something that happens on future missions as well. Mm-hmm. We will see.
This is the first time we had someone. Olivia has something else to say. Go ahead, Olivia. There you go.
There you go. A moon box it is.
So the message there from Olivia was that you can still buy a moon box. Go to the Astrobotic website. It will be on a future mission, but they're still available.
Nice, nice. And yeah.
I feel like this is like the new ESPN. Got that, Olivia.
This just in, right?
This just in, yeah.
And who knew it would be about a moon box, right?
Yeah,
that's so,
so
crazy.
Ryan, thank you so much. Where does everybody find you, follow you? You have lots of things, so you can throw the podcast info in as well.
The website is futuregrind.org. The podcast is available on all the major podcast services, Apple Music, everything else you can find. My name is Ryan O'Shea. I'm on all the socials, Instagram, Twitter, all of that. You can just find my name. Keep up, follow along. We're always posting things, and I want to continue the conversation.
And I think it would be, not that we have these kind of people listening, but teenagers should be listening to your podcast, right? So if you're a person that has a teenager, have them subscribe to your podcast, because those you're talking about jobs that nobody would have ever thought about,
right? Or flip that coin and say, baby boomers, listen to this podcast, because this is something you would have never thought would have happened.
Yeah, true.
Just briefly on that subject, one of the big goals of Future Grind is increasing techno literacy to help people engage in conversations about AI and robotics and spaceflight that otherwise wouldn't have that information.
That's right.
They need to be participating in these conversations.
Because you think it's over your head, and a lot of it is. But if you simplify the process and really talk it through, you can follow along and be a part of where everything's going.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, nice. Ryan, thanks so much for making time for us.
Question of the day. Yeah, you got to hear it. So poor Olivia, who did come up with a good answer. But best piece of advice you have ever received that you apply today?
Well, the time didn't help me because I still haven't really thought of a good one. But I think you mentioned accountability in yours, and I think that's a huge one for me too. It's just the idea that your life is your responsibility, that you can change your situation, you can change your circumstances, and that's up to you to do. I think that's a powerful message to always keep in mind.
Yeah. So we're going to change. Shane Masters, we love your song, but we're going to throw a little Michael Jackson in. It's just fitting proper.
If you could only feel her touch the way I feel it all the time.
First of all, welcome to the JF Podcast. Now, did you ever think that we were going to bring you to such a cool workspace?
I am completely blown away. Right. I walked in and went, what is this? Yeah. Am I on some sci-fi movie? Am I on a set? Yeah. Is this real?
Am I being punked?
Yeah. And this is my backyard.
Yeah.
Good point. Yeah.
This is my backyard.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that this was here, and I've been in this neighborhood for the past 3 years. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
this
right.
is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And so tell your story, because we got to know you a little bit earlier, that you're not from Pittsburgh, but you chose to, you're a transplant and chose to stay. Why?
Yes. I just fell in love with Pittsburgh. So I kind of grew up on the East Coast, lived in New York City for a long time, and, you know, decided to make a career transition of my own. And in the process of that, I moved back to Western Pennsylvania, went to school in the area, worked through my graduate program in the area, and, you know, fell in love with Pittsburgh. I love the fact that it's got the culture of, you know, a bigger city. It's got the art of a bigger city. And, you know, after my own heart, I love art. But, you know, and then the people.
The people.
And
yeah,
that was
we hear
really
that.
The thing. It's the people.
That's so good to hear.
It's so good to hear because, you know,
sometimes when you're from here, you don't know, you know. And not to throw this in, but we are working with Point Park that started out as a study, all the different media entities. We're talking about how welcoming is Pittsburgh. So it does our hearts good to know that we certainly have ways to go, you know, to be more welcoming. Like anybody else, there's always room for improvement. But it's great to hear from people who aren't from here that Pittsburgh is welcoming.
Yeah, it is. It is a fact, because we believe that we're kind of stuck in the quagmires every once in a while. We always joke that Pittsburgh is a slow boat to turn, you know, for things happening in the rest of the country.
And we don't use our tongues. And we just figured that
right,
out.
Right. We figured this out
this,
the other
this
day.
This week
right.
we were driving and John's like, I just didn't use my tongue. What did you say?
I said this. This versus and this.
And I didn't realize he did it.
So we have a previous podcast. Michael Troiani from the Troiani Group was on here, and he's put together, I forget the name of the website.
It's
a Pittsburghese website, but he's figured out the linguistics of Pittsburghese in that we don't use our tongues. And you know,
if you think about it, though, we don't, and that's why I say I'm going to, and I say I'm gonna,
and you say R, like the word R, A R E, R. We don't use it. R is really the way you say it.
So anyway, Pittsburgh comes from.
Yeah, so, well, but, we don't even. But that's ridiculous.
It might. Okay. I don't know. But you know, we've had Pittsburghese
linguistic
professor people. On from CMU who talked about the evolution of Pittsburghese. But we're now getting down to the science of we don't use our tongues well here in Pittsburgh.
Sorry, we just went off topic.
So, but anyway, so let's go. So
we're welcoming. Period.
So. So tell us, so you're back, you're here in Pittsburgh, yeah. and you find that your jobs aren't fulfilling.
You changed
jobs. And now what are you doing to help everybody?
So I have founded Enlightened Transitions, and it is a therapeutically oriented coaching and consulting service.
Stop there. Where do you get to that point? You're a young person. How do you get to a point where you think, I can coach people?
Well, you know, I started my career in art.
Okay.
In fine art. I went to school for fine art, loved art, always had an interest in psychology and anthropology and just the human condition overall.
Mm. Sure.
But found myself working in New York in graphic design, in illustration, in the art world, and kind of was like disillusioned by it. There wasn't necessarily like that human connection. I had the opportunity to teach a lot of non-traditional students at a community college in New York, and really fell in love with the fact that I was making these connections with these folks who were going through all these changes, all these struggles in their lives. And we would spend a lot of my office hours just talking about what was going on in their life. Not the projects, not the assignments, but life. And, you know, and it was those interactions that made me realize that it's the people component. I like working with people. Mm-hmm. I love helping them figure out who they are, what those next steps are. So I shifted gears. I made a pivot of my own. And I was like, I want to do something altogether different. And I went back to school. I studied psychology. And I've been in mental health and in social services ever since. And while working with those folks, I realized that there's people who just kind of fall through the cracks. The idea of mental health care is kind of intimidating. I mean, you go to a therapist and you think, you know, okay, shrink lying on, you know, your back and taking notes and, you know, all those like Freudian, you know, type of ideas that come to mind. Or you think of, you know, the patient in the psych unit in the straitjacket that you see in the movies, and you associate that with mental health care. And that's scary because nobody wants to be labeled, quote unquote, the crazy.
Yeah.
You know, but yet we all go through these stressful, overwhelming experiences in life. And who do we talk to? You know, our friends. But there's only so much that our friends can necessarily handle. Mm-hmm. What do you do when you're like, I'm at a crossroads of life? I don't have a diagnosis, nor am I crazy, nor am I experiencing something that's that intense, mm-hmm. but I want somebody to talk to.
Or even sometimes, you know, the healthcare industry, some people are foregoing, unfortunately, healthcare.
Yeah.
And you can't have the ability to speak with someone on a professional level, so.
Yeah, and, you know, with the healthcare system the way it is, you almost need a diagnosis to see a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I love about doing what I do is I get to work with people on the subclinical level. So without a diagnosis. So somebody can come and be experiencing characteristics of anxiety or what could be considered a clinical disorder, but not necessarily be at that level where it's diagnosed. I mean, we're all stressed, right?
Right. We all have anxiety, for sure.
We all get sad.
We all have had it for sure this last year has been,
Right. Yes. And then the loneliness and coupling that in, like, how do you adjust? And, you know,
or not the loneliness, the fact that your kids were on top of you 24 hours
that
a day.
Too.
You felt guilty because you didn't want them on top of you 24 hours a day.
And then managing that and, you know, the house and life and, you know, everything.
Yes.
And in a confined space.
Yeah.
Like claustrophobia, right?
Sure.
So then do you help as far as career as well? Like we talked to Ryan earlier, you know, he has this passion. He's doing these other things to make sure of this, but this is his passion. Would you meet with someone like Ryan to say, here's how I'm going to help you continue 100%. Your passion? And yeah.
I mean, and I think that ties back into, you know, mental wellness and wellness overall. Because when you think about it, what do you ask people when you first meet them? What do you do? Mm-hmm. So our identities and our sense of self is lumped in with what we do. And so there's a sense of pride, there's a sense of ego, there's a sense of prestige that's all attached to that. And when, especially in a time like COVID, where that's all thrown up in the air, you have job loss, you have, you know, transition, what do? You know, how do you refine yourself? How do you reinvent yourself? And I think that, you know, one of the things I love working with folks who are going through these career transitions is that we get to explore that. We get to, you know, talk about, you know, what would you do if you could do it all over again and dream? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I work with a lot of folks to help them figure out what those paths are. And, you know, as Ryan was saying, there are so many opportunities that people don't see because they're looking at these traditional, I get my degree, I do this, mm-hmm. and I go on these very linear career paths mm-hmm. versus, you know, thinking of it as more of a trellis, some perpendicular, some up, some down, some lateral. And then you find this whole career journey.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I think it's interesting. If you could, I think of my two kids mm-hmm. and their career paths. My son's career path pretty much, I don't want to get to there. My daughter's career path, want to get to there, and she's now there, but she went way out like this over here. And all these experiences over here, she was frustrated after high school thinking like, oh, all my friends are in college. They know what they want to do. But all this path, though, she learned what she did not want to do. Mm-hmm. And it feels awful when you're in the middle of that, but it seems to me that you could say to somebody coming out of high school, like the pressure is off. Yes. You're through high school. The clock is not ticking anymore. Mm-hmm. Figure it out. Even someone who's 40 who's just lost their job, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we...
I didn't point to you.
You did?
I didn't mean
totally
like you're about to lose your job.
To me. Yeah. Ah. Well, and I think we put so much pressure on ourselves to
the boss
perform
was laid off.
In, you know, in a career-oriented world and get that promotion as opposed to, you know, kind of create our own path. And I think the more you recognize that it's okay to pivot. It's okay to use this experience and couple this experience and couple this experience. I am kind of that perfect example. I did not go on a linear, you know, career path.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to. And, you know, life throws you those curveballs. And you're like, whoa, this isn't quite working out. This isn't what I thought it was going to be. But I can use that experience from the art world, from the design world. And I can help, you know, pull that together for
us. And create what's best for you.
Yeah.
You know, and we're even, Tracy and I have this conversation regularly because our sons just graduated from high school. And, you know, COVID helped us also to see that the silver lining in life is that there is a silver lining.
Yeah.
That there is a tomorrow and you're going to figure it out. And it may not be what you thought it was going to be. Because who am I to preach to my now 18-year-old, find something you want to do for the rest of your life, when I found what I loved at 40. Thanks, John. You know, I figured it out at 40. And so how do I say to him, but you should be figuring it out right now. You wake up at 18 and you need to know what you want to do. And here are your options. Do you want to go this route, this route? When in reality, experience helps you kind of figure that out. So I think that's a really good point. How does that first consultation look, though? So I know you say, you know, obviously all website driven. Mm-hmm. First consultation is free.
Yep.
So basically, that's your way, I'm assuming, of saying, I want to get down and know you, right? I want to figure out, what is it that drives you? What are your weaknesses? How can I literally help you? Sort of like a therapist would, right?
Yeah, very much so. I look at our first session, the first consultation session, as a conversation. You know, you get to feel me out because, again, you know, you want to jive with me. You want to be able to have a conversation with me. You want to feel comfortable and supported. So it gives you a sense to kind of get to know me. It gives me a kind of sense to get to know you. And we talk about some of the things in your life that are bothering you, that you're struggling with, that you're like, I'm frustrated. I don't know. And we start there and we just have this conversation. And it's casual. Unlike, I guess, perhaps, you know, a formal consultation where, you know, okay, check the box. Have you experienced this? I need your name. I need your blah, blah, blah. It's more of a conversation. And I like keeping that type of relationship because it's more personal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you have all those notes jotted down. Mm-hmm. What's next?
Well, so then we have that conversation. And then if you want to continue working with me, we just set up an arrangement. Mm. And we go from there. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I really like is being able to meet clients where they are. I have a lot of folks right now who are in that transitional period, especially with COVID. And a frustration I've always seen with the mental health system is that it costs so much. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one of my missions is to bring that to people at a lower cost. So I don't want to make, I guess, the challenge of whatever it is you're experiencing even more stressful because of a financial burden.
Okay.
Oh, this is incredible. And the fact that you lived it, right? Now
yeah.
You can teach, you know, you can't teach something that you haven't lived,
yes.
Right? And that's kind of the interesting thing. Now, in the meantime, just like everybody else in this room, during COVID, we all picked up a weird hobby, whether it was watching Netflix or, you know, whittling, you know, whatever. You picked up a hobby during COVID. Tell
yes,
us about
I
that.
Yes, I did. So instead of going stir crazy and running around the apartment going, oh, my God, what am I going to do next? What am I going to do next? I have all this time and I decided that I was going to start tinkering with making candles. And, you know, I have a couple candles for my candle line. So this thing ended up becoming, you know, this passion project of my own self-care where I'm like a little bit of this scent, a little bit of this scent. So I started making these all-natural soy candles with natural toppings of, you know, different scents and different flavors. And then I moved into soaps. And I'm like, soaps will be cool. Let me play with this and let me see what happens in my kitchen. The kitchen barely survived. So I brought you guys some of
my collection.
I have my coffee and cream soap, if you want to. What?
Now, we know the question of the day yesterday was, do you really have to shower all the time? I'm not a big shower, but I do love these scents, so I might have to...
Let me
smell that just from outside.
I smelled the lavender.
Oh, wow. Smell it.
Oh, my gosh. That is so pretty.
Wow. And these are for you guys. Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
And I also...
This is way better than the turtle wax the game shows give.
Oh, and they feel so good.
It says that.
I have...
What is this? Awesome.
Oh. Yeah, I have this... hard time of not, you know, using all of them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, can I use a little of this one? Can I use a little of this one?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we will definitely put them to good use. Well, thank you so much. So where does everybody find you? Because this is all contained on one website.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So you can find me on my website at enlightenedtransitions.org. I also have a YouTube channel where I post, you know, different topics that are psychology oriented, some mindfulness meditations. And my shop is the apothecary shop at Enlightened Transition. So all you'd have to do is just follow the link, on the homepage to the apothecary shop.
Right. There you go.
That's awesome. And if you're listening to the podcast on a treadmill, driving a car, don't worry because the show, all the links will be in
You'll
the show
You'll find a
notes.
Career too.
Yeah.
All right. Question of the day. Best piece of advice that you have ever received that you apply today, ever received.
Embrace the pivot.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
Embrace the pivot.
Listen, we don't, I'll be honest with you, we don't like the word pivot, but we're going to let it go because
we've
that's a really
yeah.
good, that's
okay.
a really good.
We've considered
Listen,
it
there's
a swear
reason.
Word
yeah.
to it. Yeah, because everybody was doing it.
Yeah.
Like the way you're applying
the way you're, yes, so you're well, changing my mind. No,
can
go
I
ahead.
Do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Embrace the pivot?
Yes. Don't fall into the space machine though.
Yeah, seriously. No, and I, well, kind of like what Olivia said in the beginning, like don't listen, hear me out before you know, it's sort of the same with you because we were like so sick of hearing the word pivot, but when used in that way, it's so
yeah,
true.
It makes so sense. So much sense. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you,
Thank
Jen.
You.
We appreciate it.
It's great.
It's been
and
awesome.
We're gonna smell
yeah.
good. I don't right. see. I don't have to shower. I can.
Yeah. Right.
Use
you just
the
walk
soap.
Around with a candle on your shoulder. Right.
More music from Chain Masters.
If you give me your whole life, I'd love to make you my wife.
Hey.
So welcome back to the podcast, Jeremy and Angie from Discover the Bird. It's been a long time since you guys have been on the podcast, but then you guys were always very supportive of our crazy crap that we come up with. We rolled out this new YaJagoff.com website with Where You At and YaJagoff and Jeet Jet and all that kind of, and you guys were like, yeah, sure, we'll do it, whatever. You gave us a little micro tour of your neighborhood, so
which is right here.
We appreciate all that you do. So the fact is, did you know this was here?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
Yeah, a few years ago in Butler County, they had the Mars New Year celebration, which is like, every a little less than 2 years, Mars goes around the sun. So they have a Mars New Year festival, and they had a blast-off dinner where I believe the president of Astrobotics spoke.
Okay.
And that was, I think, right after they got their first major contract. So we read about it in the news and then learned about the mission of Astrobotic and what they're doing at that event. I don't think we knew that their office was this close to our house.
But
that was pretty awesome.
This is going to be one of those things when you're at a party, you go, oh, you know what's down on the north side?
Yeah.
You know, Yinzer would go, you know what's down on the north side?
North side. Sometimes you add an F.
Right. Yeah, we're gonna drive by with friends and we're going to see you trying to break in so you can
Oh, sell.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah. I'll be waving from, because I'll be napping here. I'm getting a sleeping bag. So what's happening at Discover the Berg these days?
Well, a lot more than last year. That's
right?
Before we even get into that, I mean, and feel free to recap, but I'll give the YaJagoff version. You know, we were reminiscing of when you were first on. You were on without Angie, and it was, we believe, 4 years ago at the airport hangar, just to kind of talk about some of the fun things you were covering. And then the next time we saw you was at the Foundry, when you kind of broke the fact that, like, I'm thinking about leaving my job. And then you're this phenomenon story where you did quit your job. You know, as John was just referencing with the others, that there's hobbies and then there's have to work, right? Mm-hmm. You were able to kind of mesh the two. Now, Angie looks at us like, I mean, I'm still working, but she does get to enjoy the fun of it as well, luckily. Yeah. But talk a little bit about what that transition was like, because it has been a while since you've been on.
Yeah. I mean, that was about 3 years ago now, almost, that I quit my day job. The biggest transition was getting over the fear of if I would have enough money to survive. I mean, obviously she was still working and I'm on her health insurance, so that was a big perk of doing that leap. But like, going from, okay, the website's only making a fraction of what my day job was, like, can I make up that difference quickly? And thankfully, you know, it was the extra time of being able to quit my job allowed me to.
But explain what that is.
Yeah.
So like, you went from, you know, again, simplifying process, you went from talking about the great things in Pittsburgh to figuring out the science behind it.
Yeah. You know, running a website, there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes. SEO, we were talking about earlier, social media marketing, editing photos, things like that. And it's about, you know, getting an audience, building up traffic. And I think that was kind of the effort that I put in when I quit, was how can I build more of an audience beyond what I was just doing, say, 20 hours a week, doing it in 40, 50 hours a week. But quitting my job allowed me to, like, instead of going to two places in Pittsburgh every week, I could go to 4, 5, 6. So the volume of new content we could produce was just that much greater. And then you would join me on a few of them. You traveled a lot. So it was kind of a perk that she'd be gone half the time. So I would just be free to, you know, go find a new park, go to a new restaurant, go to a new brewery, and maybe not tell her about that one.
Angie, weigh in a little bit about the importance of content and the difference between just traveling and seeing things and what content really is.
I think that we have a unique perspective on that. Like, I think that when we go to a new place, we're constantly thinking about, like, you know, how can we describe this to someone else who hasn't been here so that they can get a really good feel of what to expect? And also, you know, if people are followers of us and know kind of our opinions about generally how we think about new places, then they can have a, you know, if we say that, oh, this restaurant was, I don't know, like,
too expensive for us,
or, you know, something specific about the ambiance or something, then they know, like, where we're coming from. So, you know,
if people know what your restaurant tastes are like, so they know where they agree with you or disagree with you. And I'm saying her, because she does all the restaurant reviews, because I have two adjectives in my whole arsenal of words that she makes fun of me for. But, like, you know, we've met people out and they say, oh, you know, I don't always agree with your restaurant reviews, but I can understand your perspective and kind of go from there.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's the important. Yeah. And I think people need to realize that the content is exactly that, how you apply it to a vast audience, right?
But, you know, it's interesting that, you know, when we listen to Jen, we listen to Ryan, and even Olivia, you know, she was in the middle of COVID looking for a job. Like, how you guys have figured out how to take a passion and engineer it into a job, you know, and or, you know, at least revenue generating. And, I mean, a job for you, Jeremy. So I think it's interesting. And you didn't do that by going to school. You took yourself to school and read, you know, years ago, there was a little Abe Lincoln commercial that said, I did a lot of reading sort of on my own. Like, you know, he self-educated. And same thing here is you took the time to self-educate. So someone who's starting a podcast or starting a blog, you know, they think, how am I going to make money from this? The first thing isn't decide how to make money from it. It's like Ryan. It's like Jen, who says, this is my passion. Mm-hmm. If I can make money from it, great. But, you know, and then that, but it takes a long time to do that, right? And some hard work. You know, Ryan's podcast, The Future Grind, you did the grind, right? You'd come home from your engineering job and then sit and try to figure out what the SEO algorithm
was. Oh, yeah. It was a lot of 60, 70, 8 hour weeks.
Yeah.
Angry spouse for several years of me being busy in front of a computer after being on a computer all day.
But, yeah.
The other interesting thing with blogging as an industry is when I started my first website 12 years ago, there was not an industry like blogs. There were blogs and people making money on blogging, but no one, like, there wasn't a guide on how to do SEO.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I don't even think I knew what SEO was until 5 years into it. So blogging now is a lot more of an established industry with, you know, guides and best practices and, you know, people who've been around for a decade. You could find a mentor and they can just tell you,
yeah,
you know, what they did and what worked. But there's no tried and true blueprint on what works. There still has to be a bit of, I don't want to say luck, but
yeah,
kind of.
Well, launch and learn. Yeah. And plus, yeah, it's like, I always consider it to be like tax law. It changes all of the time, right? It's always changing. So you just always have to be up to date.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we get most of our traffic from Google searches. Someone could go on Google and type in things to do in Pittsburgh, and our site comes up number one, number two, number three. But Google can also change that tomorrow.
Right.
And that could go away, and then we would lose, you know, traffic. So you kind of, it's playing in a lot of other people's sandboxes and then understand, trying to learn how do those all work and how you can fit into it, at least while you can.
Yeah.
No guarantee this will last forever.
Know, you're obviously friends of ours, but I have to say that any time that I have Googled it, every time I go, here they are again, it's something that you've updated that I go, why didn't I just text you and say, hey, where should I be going if I'm in this area? You know, but so kudos to you, because that is a craft that's difficult to master.
Yeah, it's like a science and art balance.
Yeah. Right. It's a great point.
Right.
So we were joking as you were coming on that one of the first times you came on, you know, you were just like everybody else, right? Oh, we went here and we like this. And, you know the adjectives to use or not use to describe somewhere that you've been. Because one of the questions that we asked you early on that I remember thinking, that's not really how I wanted to phrase it back to messaging, but is, if you were somewhere and you didn't like it, you know, how do you respond? That's something that you have to learn truly how to do, because there are so many places competing at this point that becomes difficult. Mm-hmm. I also joke that you came on and you would have like a napkin and you'd have your top fives of whatever, you know, because we were getting into that kind of thing. That to me has to be, in my opinion, I guess, antiquated for you now. What is your system like now when you're going to these 6-7 places versus one or two, and how are you deciding versus what it was like before?
You know, I don't know if it's changed too much. I mean, do you feel like
really? Just had a list on his phone.
Yeah, I still have the list on my phone.
But it's not a napkin.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't the cocktail napkin.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we follow all the news and we get a bunch of press releases, so we learn about new things. And I think I said on a previous podcast, I'll just look at Google Maps and like just scroll in on a neighborhood and be like, what's that? What's that? What's that?
Or, and you still do that?
Yeah, I still do that. Or if we're driving, I'll just purposefully take the wrong street just to be like, I don't think I've ever turned on the street before. What's here? Oh, look, there's a restaurant. We need to either stop right now, or more likely we just ate, so we need to come back.
Okay.
Yeah, it's still the same.
So there's not this thing where you're like, oh, I've heard of that restaurant, so I'm going to just kind of find another one that's not that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, our goal is still to try and do everything in Southwest Pennsylvania. So we're still working through the list.
Yeah.
But it's still, the list is getting shorter, but we're still finding new things.
But yeah, 6 years later, new things have to be coming up. Like
constantly.
This week, there's a new space museum, right?
Yeah. We got to wait until next year for that. But yeah, there will be a new space museum here soon.
Right.
And, you know, I was always really worried about running out of things to do, but it's 6 years in and we've crossed over 1,000 unique things in Southwest PA within about an hour of Pittsburgh. Because I don't like to drive.
Isn't that crazy, right?
So, wow. Yeah.
Well, I know it's always fascinating to have Doug Dirt on from Yin's Love Barbecue because, again, when he started his website, there were, I think, 20 or not even 20 places to have barbecue. Mm. And now, you know, it just his website's blowing up because of that. And similar to you, there's always something else to do. Mm. But then there are the traditions, like we joked about Gus and Yaya's earlier. Like, if you don't come to Pittsburgh and experience Gus and Yaya's, you've missed. And you would not find out about something like that other than a place like you guys. So, yeah.
We're starting to, you know, try and get back to redoing some of the places that we went to 6 years ago just to make sure nothing's changed too much. Like, I think we went to the Heinz History Center a couple weeks ago for the first time in about 2 years.
Sure.
Because we were just thinking about it, like, when was the last time we've been there? I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
And when we couldn't remember when we hadn't been to the best museum in the city, we were like, oh, we got to go back.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. They were closed for a while, too. You're safe.
We had a year off of not doing much.
Yeah. Right. Top five things to do this summer, do you think? Or top three? What are you thinking?
I was going to say, if anyone's a biker, take your bike out to, were you going to say that?
Stole mine.
Okay. We did not coordinate.
She stole his napkin.
Yeah, we're really into biking. So, were you going to say Butler Freeport? That's like one of my favorite bike trails. So you can go, it's about 40 miles round trip if you do the whole thing, but it's like one of the most beautiful bike trails. Very wooded. There's like a really cool, creek, but there's a couple of different like environments. So then you go through the wooded area and then you get into, like fields and drive by or bike by like a dairy. I think it's a dairy farm.
On like the Butler side.
You can see like turkeys crossing the bike path and it's a lot of different environments and you can end up in Butler if you want or start in Butler and there's a bunch of, you know, restaurants and breweries and things to see up there. So
yeah, I was going to say the Ghost Town Trail out in Indiana, that but that's good another good ride. If you like doing a 50 mile ride, it's a just gorgeous trail.
I love how they give each other a pet. All right. Well, that was a good one.
Ghost Town Trail.
Like, what's your top five favorite, whatever. And we're like, oh yeah.
Is that like a standard question for you guys when people are hanging out? Like, is that too standard of a question? But I mean,
John
people,
hates to be predictable.
People
so you can tell
listening
him.
Though, I mean, nobody's been doing, people haven't been doing anything. Yeah. So some tips on where to get out at this point would be helpful.
We started picking up going brewery hopping again because we didn't go to the new breweries for like a year. And then like 20 opened up. So there's a bunch of new breweries, like Old Thunder and Blaunox is in an old post office. It's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Four Points opened up on Western Ave just right over here. They make some of the best IPAs and fruited sours in the city. And you don't have to drive to Charleroi anymore. It's great.
Yeah.
There's also a Jagup beer.
Right.
Yes.
North Country Brewing.
No one's offered us a can of that.
Oh, don't worry. It's just coming back. Yeah. We saw our craziness yesterday.
Right.
It's just coming back.
The pitch was yesterday. We took it to Pittsburgh Today Live, and we were telling the beer was 48 hours old because it literally had just been canned 2 days before that. So it is out. So, all right.
No, but that's a great one. What about during COVID? I mean, obviously, for people who weren't following you, what did you find most interesting that you could do? Because in your business, in your line of work, you know, it's event driven. It's being out and about.
That's a good question, Rach.
Thanks, John.
That really is, actually.
What did you find?
Well, we did a lot of biking and in parks, and I think we found some new spots to enjoy outdoors. But we also did a lot of takeout.
Mm-hmm.
Takeout cocktails, takeout food. We did some picnics up in Riverview Park. There's a beautiful spot for a picnic.
Right in front of the observatory.
It's one of my favorite. It's right in my wedding pictures. It's a great area.
Was there a cool virtual thing that happened? You know, Discover the Berg. Did you discover something virtual during COVID that was like, wow, that's pretty cool? Or that was more people reinventing themselves just for the COVID?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we did some articles on our site for like ways that people can still do Pittsburgh things without leaving their house.
Right.
One of them, we curated a list of all of the webcams that had cool views.
Oh,
so I did just really robust look. I went through like all the city webcams of like the highways and I found which ones had views of the city or views of the inclines. So that was kind of fun. If you know, when you're stuck at home, we bought Pittsburgh coloring books to not go insane for a few days. That was a fun one that we shared some work and, you know, those like adult coloring books take a lot of time.
Oh my God.
What's like that like when Angie comes home from her job Because I know what Willie, her husband, will say to us when we're making silly videos. He'll be like, you guys make money doing this?
He just shakes his
when
head.
When Angie
so
comes
confused.
Home and says, oh, man, I had a rough day. And you're like, I just searched webcams all day long.
Yeah. Well,
she beats so, him.
So she should have her own side to that after I say my side. But she works from home, too. So we
literally
are sitting next to each other half the time.
Okay.
But because I do so much on social media, I'll be on Facebook doing posts. Yeah. And she'll be like, can you take the trash out? And I'm like, well, I'm working. She's like, you're playing on Facebook. I'm like, yes, I am. I'm working.
Yeah, I can't tell the difference.
Right.
It's just Facebook. So
that's
so.
The key.
So, yeah, she's my biggest fan and critic. So, like, it kind of, like, I can't get away with anything.
That's funny.
That's
you know,
problem.
It happens to us, too. Like, my husband will say, did you see so-and-so on Facebook? And I'll be like, no. He's like, who are you kidding? You were on all day. Right. Not doing that. I mean, I didn't notice that so-and-so got a new car. You know, I was doing other things for different people. But it's true. That's a hard thing. And I think people really had to get used to the idea of working from home even. I mean, we were used to it, but for some people it was a lot, you know? Did you talk to people who said like, I can't wait to get out. What are you guys going to, you know, suggest first?
Yeah. I think there are a lot of, everyone's stir crazy right
now.
I think, you know, what's your comfort level right now? Obviously,
right.
Like
right.
We're back to doing everything.
Yeah.
So,
well, know. Judging by the Pirate game yesterday, everyone is like,
right. We were down in the
I got claustrophobic
north
for a hot second.
And,
yeah.
Wow, there were so many people in the north side getting ready for the Pirate.
And game. I'm one of those people that like I wear my kids are like they make fun. I have my mask like here just in because like you don't know, right? You don't know like who feels good. Okay, I'm back up. Like you don't know what to do because it is an awkward. You know.
Yeah, I'm the kind of person that opens the door at a business and I like see if. Like the owners are wearing their mask, and I'm like, you want me to wear my mask? I'm like, I don't care. I'll put it on.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Kind of like,
awkward right
ready
now.
Ready to quick draw.
That's what I'm saying. That's why mine's on my neck.
Yeah.
It's my necklace. Yeah. So I don't want to do top fives, but what was the gem that you found as far as takeout? What's the place you go? We're going back. We're ordering from here again.
Well, we had a Mola for the first time as takeout, and we haven't actually been in there to eat there. So I'm eager to go there
Mola's
to eat there.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if you either.
Well, we did a lot of food trucks. Actually, probably one of the best ones we actually just had last night is the new Tacos al Pastor truck. Taqueria Pastorcito, I believe it is. They're at Strange Roots last night.
Hmm.
And I love Tacos al Pastor, and they actually make it properly where they put the pork on a gyro spit and roast it that way, like rotisserie style.
Oh, wow.
Sounds great.
We had dinner, and then I saw they were at Strange Roots, and I'm like, I need to go get this.
Yeah.
So we went out and had second dinner.
Okay.
Angie, what was the most unique cocktail since we were talking about the cocktails to go are now becoming a thing? They're allowed to stick around, so that's cool.
I don't know. Where did we have good cocktails from?
I mean, I think
everywhere.
I think some of them were some of our favorites, like Maggie's Painkiller or like anything from Hidden Harbor.
Okay.
You know, it was like some of the places that we couldn't go support in person because we
weren't,
you know, doing anything indoors. And when they started doing cocktails to go, it was like, well, I want all my favorites.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was a new cocktail, but just being able to get like,
right.
They're regular. Fixings.
Just get it. Yeah.
That's the concept of.
This
what's
is
new?
Awesome.
What can we expect that we can visit your site and say, wow, this is what they're doing now?
Yeah. We somehow scored a Gaijin reservation a couple weeks ago, which was an exceptional meal.
Yeah, it's like one of the hardest places to get a reservation for. But yeah, it's a new Richard Deschamps kind of sushi-esque. Well, it's, sushi
hand rolls and
gin
bar. Yeah. But they have a good sake menu and sashimi and everything.
I just read that. Yeah,
okay.
That's
so it's a very cool, like, small little space and a very like unique
where is it?
Vibe.
It's right next to Taco.
Taco,
downtown.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a really
and tacos
tiny
like that. I mean,
yeah.
Oh,
shoot.
Yeah. They book up 3 months out, but you can check on their Instagram. They'll do day of cancellations if you can sneak in.
Who knew?
Yeah.
You always say.
Did you tell them your friends from Jagoff were coming?
Yeah.
So. We can.
Yeah. But it's 3 months out, right?
Yeah.
We'll
see what we can do.
Yeah. We have no inside. Way to get your reservation. You're
gotcha.
You have to either pick 9 p.m. last minute or 3 months out.
That's gotcha.
There you go.
Okay. Understood.
Yeah, what
else?
I'm resisting the urge to pull up my phone and look at my list.
No, we were talking about farmers markets. So we're happy it's farmers.
Seems like everybody's having a farmers market.
Yeah, we have a really great one over here on the north side. That's our like home base farmers market. One of our favorite bakeries, Jack's Bakery, he does Bulgarian baked goods, and we've actually traveled to Bulgaria and everything. Like we actually really missed all of the pastries and baked goods from there, and so when we saw him, you know, a couple years ago at our farmer's market, we're like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? This is amazing. And he's just like one of our friends now. And his stuff is amazing. You have to get Benitsa. It's like a flaky kind of phyllo dough pastry, and it's like stuffed with their Bulgarian cheese. It's like a white cheese, kind of like feta, but
a mild feta.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's so good.
We get
that sounds really good.
We literally buy one every single week at the farmer's market. I'm not even kidding. We buy one every single Friday.
Wow.
That's what we're going to start doing.
Yeah, that's the next podcast.
We're going to bike.
Yeah.
I was sitting here thinking.
Bike the butler, have a beer.
We're kickboxing. We're biking. Yeah. It's the new us.
Right.
And it's the new us.
And since it's not in text, it's Jax with just J-A-K. There's no C. Just
okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Nice. It's great.
Okay. So like Aldi's Jax.
Where is it? Where is he?
He goes to several different farms. I think he goes to the Lawrence.
So he doesn't have a location.
It's just farmers market.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's looking. I think he's looking for one, and maybe we can peer pressure him to open up in the north side.
Yeah.
Right next to Astrobotic.
That would be wonderful.
There could be a little space in here for the.
Yeah, I think he's at Northside, Lawrenceville, Sewickley, East Liberty. I know he's not at Bloomfield.
Okay.
Colin would know that too.
All right.
Guys,
Discover the Berg.
You need to do this quarterly. We've said that before, but now that COVID's
now
over,
now that we're
we
sort of
it.
Back, and it's so great to see you guys. Mm-hmm. Sorry it took so long.
Last year was...
Yeah.
I'm just going to pretend that didn't happen.
Exactly.
We saw you 6 months ago.
We're all going to hang out with Jen and have beers, and she's going to counsel all of us on how to get to the next level.
What's my next career? What's my 50-year-old career?
Right.
My kids would love that. Listen, guys, thank you. Where does everybody find you?
DiscovertheBerg.com, Facebook, Discover the Berg, Instagram, Discover the Berg, Twitter, Discover Pit, because the character count was too long.
I love it. You guys
I'm so
awesome.
Bitter about that.
Yeah. I feel like I remember you talking about that before. Okay, so as if I don't know the question of the day, what is the best piece of advice you have ever received that you apply to today?
You should go first, because if I steal yours and get in trouble again,
you're
going to
get
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would say this is advice from a friend of ours, slow down. So, and obviously we've all kind of been forced to do that over the past year, but like, I think,
it's a good reminder.
Yeah. Throughout all of that, I actually kind of by chance throughout that, kind of switched positions in my career. And I used to, as we were talking about, I have to travel all the time, like 4 or 5 days a week. And, until I had to made this move, I didn't really realize how just incredibly burned out I was. And so that combined with the forced slowing down of the past year has just been, it's been a really nice change of pace.
Cool. Jeremy.
Yeah. I'm torn. I have a few, but
okay.
I think don't take yourself seriously, like too seriously.
I do love that one.
I hear that one a lot, and it's just like, you know, have fun and enjoy.
Yeah.
Life, you know, it's we can always work more. Just don't take, you know, enjoy it. You know, don't take things too seriously. You know, calm down. I think, and again, that was something I think I learned to embrace more last year, because so much of my business that was down was out of my control, and I had to learn how to let go.
Don't sweat the stuff you can't control. So, I agree. Yeah. All right, guys,
that's
good
awesome.
Answers,
Jeremy,
good answers.
Angie. Thank you so much. We have to thank everybody, and especially Olivia, who got us here, and Tracy, who worked on getting us here. But if you're listening to the podcast, know that we sat in front of this moon rover thing that's going up, literally going up to the moon, and they're going to drive around a rover on the moon in 2022 from here
and
in the north
side. Then we're going to say, Red Rover, we dare you to come. I'm just kidding. I just yawned for anyone who cares. Right. Yeah. Listen, thank you to all these guests. It was a phenomenal podcast. I feel like we say that a lot, but we really are lucky.
Thanks to Ryan. We have to thank Jen. And thanks for Colin, whose arms are tired from holding
the
Facebook.
We're creating a device so that his elbows can rest a little better.
Right.
And then, as always, thanks to Roark Honda. Summer 2021 is driving people to events and happenings, and Roark Honda is part of that drive. From parking lot shows, hosting comedy acts, to a collab with Mancini's, Roark knows the importance of community fun.
Oh, I lost my place. Go do it.
Congratulate them on a record month in May, and browse their inventory in Bloomfield. As always, visit Roark.com for all of your vehicle needs.
And why I lost my place is because I was going to introduce Jay. Kate Masters' new song.
Looks at me at night. If you could only feel her kiss the way I feel it all the time, then you would know why I feel this way. She gives me everything ever need and a whole lot more. Wait and see if I don't put a ring upon her finger. And when we're down, she begins to see that there's no way we'll ever be apart, 'cause there's no storm we can weather. I guess it's meant to be. Face lights when I arrive. If you could only feel her touch the way I feel it all the time, then you would know why I feel this way. She gives me storm we can weather. I guess it's meant to be. You my wife. If you could only see the way she gives me everything I'll ever need and a whole lot more. Wait and see if I don't put a ring upon her finger. There's no storm we can't weather. I guess it's meant to be.